Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 19. If you'd like to stand during the reading of the Lord's Word, you may do so now or remain seated. And this is the passage I will be preaching from. Quite a long passage, but I'll try to make it short. Hebrews chapter 3, 17 through 19. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me for 40 years and saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. They have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly, till the end, the confidence we had at first. As just has been said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter His rest, if not those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated. The human will is locked in the present. The past is over. The future, we cannot act in the future, and we cannot do anything about it. We can try to influence it, but we can't act in the future. We can only choose and make our choices now, today. And this is a little bit about what this passage is saying. Faith functions in the present. Faith has to function in the present. Now, the object of our faith may be in the past, such as the Lord's death on the cross. Or the object of our faith may be in the future, such as the Lord's coming again, His promise and so on. But our faith in those two things must be now. And all believers are believers because they believe now. Not because they will believe, but because they believe now. Now, people know that they're going to die. Everybody knows that they're going to die. But they don't live that way all the time. They don't live in the knowledge of that all the time. And sometimes they say, well, there's always a tomorrow. And sometimes there is a last tomorrow for people. And I didn't acknowledge this, but Ray Carter is gone now. And most of you know that. 98 years. He just turned 98, just 2 days before he left this planet. And he doesn't have any more tomorrow. That was his last tomorrow on the 3rd. And you know, that's how we've got to live our lives, in the now. That's why I've entitled this message, The Crucial Now of Believing. The Crucial Now of Faith. And successful faith responds immediately to God, and it keeps on doing that day by day, day after day. Now, postponing our faith, which is sometimes what we do, postponing our choice to believe, makes for a real rough journey. Because it hardens the heart. This is what this passage says. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. How many of you worked with clay before? Okay, if you take some clay out of the refrigerator and unwrap it out of the plastic, and you begin to work with it, but you have to, oh, I forgot, I got to go to the bank, and I got to go to the post office, and I got, and you go off and do all those things, and you come back to the clay, what's happened? It's gotten a little harder, hasn't it? And what if you forgot it overnight, and you came back to it? You know what you'd have? Hard, brittle clay that's ready to break up and chip and sometimes crack. Well, that's a little bit like our faith. If we do not respond and let our faith be shaped by the Word of God as we hear it, right when we hear it, sometimes that same kind of hardness sets in, and we do not make the choice of faith. Also, postponing our faith alienates us from God. Now, we think of this 40 years in the desert that the Israelites spent. Did they lots of time of trial and testing in the desert? But the way that God, in this passage, I don't know if you heard it while we read it, the way that this passage describes it, it says God called it the rebellion, because it was actually a trial for him and a testing of his patience. Is what he said. Your fathers tested and tried me. For 40 years they saw what I did. But they didn't respond in faith. What did they see? Well, they saw water coming out of a rock when Moses spoke to the rock and they were thirsty. They saw manna come down every morning from heaven. They saw a cloudy pillar to lead them by day and a fiery pillar to give them lunch over their camp at noon. They saw a lot of other miracles for 40 years, and they kept postponing this ongoing faith. Well, this postponing of the faith also sidetracks us. It sidetracks us, and it sidetracks us from our real goal. It says in this passage, their hearts are always going astray, always going off course, sidetracked. Now, God's guidance is not just pointing us in the right direction. That's not what God's guidance is, pointing us in the right direction. His guidance is a personal leading, a personal revelation of himself. And our failure to believe, our postponing of our faith, shows that we have not known his ways. His ways. His ways are things that he does. That's the way he lived, and he wants to show us how he lived so that we can follow him, so that we can follow him personally, not just, I'm pointing you in the right direction, you go that way. We do need that a lot of times. But what we need is to hold my hand and let go. And when he shows us his ways, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. Now, God's destination is not just the promised land. It's not just the promised place. His destination for us is a state of joy and peace. So when people want to go to heaven, why do they want to go to heaven? Why do people want to go to heaven? It's because I just want to be there. What's in heaven is the presence of God and a sharing in the kind of joy and peace that God has. He wants to share with us. And what the problem of postponed faith is, the tragic outcome of postponed faith is that they shall never enter my rest. My rest. It's God's rest. It's his Sabbath. You know, he worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. He just sat back and relaxed. And you know, we've been busy all of our lives, usually. And here is one of the busiest places on the planet. This Escaton Village has more stuff on the chalkboard, more things to do, more places to go in this thing, and activities and stuff. And it's a whirlwind. If I have something we want to do, I have to really, you know, find a place to fit it in, because this place is so busy. Yes, but there's a time coming when we can sit back and just relax, and that is the joy that God wants us to have. It's his rest, his joy and peace. Now, this passage shows God as a very compassionate, but a very passionate God. What do you think we get emotions from? We made an image of God. It says that he was legitimately angry here. Why was he legitimately angry? Why was his anger real, and was his anger justified? Well, it was because they had postponed their faith. Even though they had seen his miracles, they hardened their hearts. They hardened their hearts. They ignored his works and his ways, and they missed the purpose. They missed their goal for him. They were not able to find their way through that wilderness. For 40 years, they were in that wilderness. And you know, can it go on for 40 years? Yes. It can go on for more than 40 years. It can go on twice that long and longer. But God, it doesn't have to, because God says today. Today, we always have the presence. Everyone right now has the presence and the able ability to say, today, I don't have to harden my heart. I can make the choice. I can believe and not postpone my faith. Successful faith responds to God immediately. Now, we need some help on that. We need help. And you know what? God put it right in this passage of where the help is at. He said, encourage each other. Encouraging the faith of others is a duty that all of us have. That all of us have. And the appeal for immediate faith, because that's what God wants today, is not given individually. If you look at this passage, it's given to believers as a group. It's given to believers as a group. Here's what it says. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Notice that it doesn't say, see to it, pastor. What does it say? See to it, brothers. You know that the church is not the pastor. The church is the membership. It's not the leadership, it's the membership. The leadership is part of the membership. The church is the membership, the brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what the church is. And see to it, brothers, that none of you has an unbelieving heart that is hardened. Well, we could respond and say, well, am I my brother's keeper? Listen, I'm not responsible for other people's spiritual walk. Is that what this passage says? It doesn't seem to say that. See to it. See to it. Well, you get a command like, see to it that you do this. It's a command. And God wants us to do this. See to it. How do we do it? And it's right here. Encourage one another daily. Every day. Day after day. Encourage one another. Not just at the services. You know, not just at the Sunday services. And it says to do it today. Encourage one another daily. This is what this whole passage is about. It's doing things now. Do it immediately. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, you know you need to talk to so-and-so. They look like they're going a little off stray, a little stray. You know, see to it that none goes astray, has its unbelieving heart, you know, that goes astray. And postponing our encouragement, if you say, oh, well, I can encourage them another time. You may not get that opportunity. And you know, sometimes the time is right. The Holy Spirit knows when the time is right, and He knows when it's not right, too. And you've got to be very sensitive. We've got to learn. We talk a lot about listening to the Holy Spirit. We need to do that. Because if we do postpone our encouragement for other people to keep on keeping on in faith, if we postpone that, what can happen? It says who are straying might be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's what sin is like. It deceives us. We think it's okay. All right, come on in. Come on in, and then they set up housekeeping. Sin sets up housekeeping in our home. No, we can't do that. We've got not to be hardened, but we have to be responsive, and the response is an immediate response. And why is it day by day? Why is it day after day? Why is that so crucial? Well, after this instruction has been given, there's something that sounds dramatically incorrect, but it's theologically correct. And let me read this in verse 14. It's a sentence that you listen to a tense and you say, now, wait a minute. Isn't there something with the tenses or time sequence here that doesn't match up right? Listen. We have come. We have come to share in Christ. Well, that's what we could say about all of us, right? We have come to share in Christ, but if, there's an if thing in there. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. Do you see how this holds the past? The confidence we had at first in the past, and it holds the future into the present. Into the present. And that's what this passage is about. It's an immediate response every day, day after day, until the last day. Because every single day until the last day becomes a today. You know, the future is a future. Yeah, but every single day in the future eventually becomes a today for us. And it's a choice in the present. It's a choice in the present. And we must affirm our faith. And we must affirm it daily, day after day. And so it needs the encouragement of each other day after day. Successful faith responds immediately to God day after day. Well, we get this help of keeping on. We get it from hearing a sermon, hearing the Word of God in a sermon. Because what is it? It's the Word of God in the mouth of a book we're reading or a person we're talking to. But let me tell you something. It's so much better when it's a person and it's face-to-face. Why? Because you can't talk to a book. You can't ask it questions. But what you can do with a brother or a sister in Christ is to say, well, you know something? I have this problem. And it's really been bugging me. Can we pray together? And not only does prayer sometimes happen, but a person says, you know, I've had a problem that's similar to that, and the Lord gave me this scripture, and suddenly the Word of God comes. And what does it say in Romans? It says, faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to hear the Word of God more than on a Sunday morning. We need to hear it through the week. We need to hear it from our brothers and our sisters in Christ. And finally, shipwrecked faith. Faith that is shipwrecked is avoided by believing and being a faithful follower in the now. And that's again why I entitled it, The Crucial Now of Believing. Now, they're repeating this passage, and that's what, and so the writer of Hebrews repeats it in verse 15. It, as it has been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And that is why he repeats it, because it's so crucial. It's so crucial. It applies to us. I want to read the rest of the passage again as it ends, because I want to pull some things out of that. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Their daily for 40 years unbelief. Now, God can lead us out of Egypt. All of us have been led out of the Egypt of the bondage of sin. But that doesn't take the Egypt out of us. That is a process that God has for us through the Holy Spirit. As we say, as the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something in our lives and we say, that's what I've got to get rid of, Lord. Thank you for showing me. And we say, I confess it. I forsake it. I don't want to do that anymore. Help me, Lord, to walk in your way. And that's the process. And it is not an overnight thing. It's a daily thing. It's a thing that comes back again and again as a daily response to God. Now, you've heard that thing. Stop until you drop. How many have heard that? Okay, stop until you drop. Well, that's how that society keeps running financially, I think, and people do shop a lot. But in our sinning, it tries the Lord's patience. And it tries the Lord's patience for 40 years. It can try the Lord's patience for more than 40 years unless we stop before we drop. Right. You stop until you drop. Well, listen, we want to stop before we do drop and make that response to the Lord and make that immediate faith response day after day to the Lord. And we can fail to enter into that rest, that joy, and that peace that the Lord has for us. Because remember, heaven is a place. But heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Heaven is an experience that we have on the inside for right now through the presence of God within us. And we cannot enter into that joy and that peace on a daily basis unless we respond in faith on a daily basis to the God who lives there. You know, heaven, God wants heaven to be a daily thing for us. And then he wants us to experience the ultimate when we leave this planet. But if we fail to respond to faith daily, then we don't enter into that rest. That is what this passage is teaching. Now, Sometimes we are fooled into thinking that we have all the time in the world to make our choices, but it's not true. It's not true. We must make our choices now. We must make our choice to do what God wants us to do now. Only one life, my mother used to say again and again, and she wrote it down and put it on pieces of paper and put it on bookmarkers, and I heard it so many times in my life. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And successful faith, the faith that every single person in here needs and every single person in history wants, is a successful faith. A successful faith makes an immediate response to God, to His Word, to His leading, to His direction, to His person. Makes that response immediately, in the now, in the today. And it keeps on doing that, day after day after day, choosing to follow Jesus. Well, that's a sort of message, isn't it? But it's a message that has, I hope, an impact that we can take with us. Because we want to have that kind of faith that will be successful every single day. And that tomorrow we don't have to worry about. What we really have to worry about is what happens today. How do we choose to respond to God and His leading and His word today? Let's pray. Father God, thank You again. Thank You again that You have given us the promise of heaven. Thank You again that You are coming back. And thank You again, Lord, that You have given us the Holy Spirit to help us in this daily walk. It is a daily walk. And to be successful in it, we must have faith immediately as a response to You and not put it off. Not put off our choices to follow You, but to follow You on a daily basis, to do what You want us to do. Perhaps it's something we're supposed to do in sharing You with others. If that's the case, Lord, help us to do it. Help us to respond immediately. And I pray, Father, I pray for a special blessing upon this whole congregation and myself included. Lord, that we will be better listeners in these coming days, this coming year. We will listen more carefully. We will not just ask You things in prayer, but we'll wait and be quiet, be silent, and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me that I may speak. And Lord, I pray that each of us will have a successful walk daily throughout the whole year. We pray in Jesus' name.